Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening today. We're going to be talking about a very big subject that is all through the Bible, and it is encountered in many different passages of Scripture in every way. In fact, just about in every page of the Bible, it talks something about God being our healer, about Jesus being our healer. And so we know that we live in a fallen world. We are afflicted with all kinds of ailments, with aches, pains, cancers, arthritis, all kinds of traumatic and dramatic illnesses. And so the question always arises, is God healing today? Is he able to heal today? Is he still a God of miracles as he was as we read through the Old Testament and the other passages of Scripture? And so we're going to take this up bit by bit in a several-part series here and just look at God as the healer for our situation, whatever it may be, whether it's physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing. Maybe we need healed from our sin. There's a lot of aspects to this. So we're going to look at it and take it up one day at a time. Well, in Exodus 15, the children of Israel are out in the wilderness with Moses leading them. They've been delivered from bondage in Egypt, and they come to a place where the water is very bitter. The water is not drinkable, and we're talking here now about maybe 1.5 million people. It was no small little troop of people. It was a big city out there in the wilderness. They had livestock, they had children. And you can imagine no water. Water is life. And so when you have no water, it becomes a very serious issue very, very quickly. People in Africa carry water every single day. You see people coming, going on bicycles, on their head, on trucks, all types of ways in their cars. They carry water. And so it's a very, very serious issue here in Africa. There's a real shortage of good water here, a shortage of good wells. A lot of people take water, muddy water, out of rivers and streams and even holes where livestock trample the mud around, trample the water around. And so water is a very serious issue here in Africa. We are so blessed out in the Living Water Orphanage home, the children's home. We have a beautiful spring out there the Lord gave us. It's running about 10,000 to 20,000 gallons per day, depending on the season. And it is beautiful, drinkable water right out of the pipe. We developed the spring, dug it out, and put retaining walls in front of it. And so now the water is coming out of pipes right there at the spring head. And we have set up a solar pump. We catch the water in a tank, put a solar pump in there, and we pump the water 500 feet up to the top of the hill, and that is the water source then for the whole farm, for the children's home, for the caretaker's house. We have been blessed beyond measure with this beautiful water. And so we have here in this situation the people of Israel. The children are out of water, and in verse 25 of Exodus 15, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them," that is, God tested them, "and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And that is the name right there, "for I am the Lord who heals you." God is telling them, "I am the God who heals you," and the name, the Hebrew name for that is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you. And God said, "I am the Lord who heals you." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the water. So God has instructed Moses to cut a tree and to throw it into these bitter waters the waters that were not drinkable, to cut the tree, throw it into these bitter waters, and the water was made drinkable. The water was made pure, safe, and drinkable right away, as Moses did what he was instructed to do by God. And so God was giving the children of Israel a test, first of all, would they be obedient to him when he gave them instruction on how to purify the water? And secondly, the test was, can they trust God? Can they believe in God that he's going to take care of them in every situation? And he healed their waters, and so thereby healing the waters, he saved the children of Israel from perishing, because 1.5 million people without water, they may not have had the strength to go on. It was a desert type situation. They may not have had the strength to go on. And so they could have easily perished there. Their livestock could have perished. Their children could have perished. And so God tested them, and then he provided them the answer, and they followed through by being obedient to him. Moses did, to do what God instructed him to do. And so God declared one of his names to be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. Well, he is still the same healing God today. He is the God who heals us today. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And certainly God is also. He is the God who loved us way back then. He is the God who loves us now. And so he is the same God. He never changes. God is not a man that he should lie. He never changes. He is the same God today that he was then. And so also there was a prophecy in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. You can turn there to Isaiah 53 if you have your Bible there, Isaiah 53, and it talks about a prophetic declaration over Jesus Christ, the Son, the soon coming Messiah. Well, soon coming, he came 800 years later or 700 years later, whatever the date was. But Isaiah in 53, chapter 53, he talks about this coming Messiah who is going to take our sins, who's going to bear our sins on the cross, and also he will be taking our healing upon himself. He will be taking the issue of our healing upon himself as he goes to the cross. Well, we'll start in verse 4. We could look at this whole chapter because it's all about Jesus. It's all about the issue of Jesus taking our sins and our sorrows upon him. But we'll start in verse 4. And it says here, surely he has borne our griefs or our sorrows. Surely he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And then in verse 5, it goes on to say, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Well, beloved, many people quote that scripture when they're praying over others for healing, and I believe that's a good thing to do. I believe it's good to pray God's word back to him. I believe that's in a very effective prayer mode and a very effective tool in prayer. And we're not extracting things from God. We're not manipulating things from God, but we are putting ourselves in a position when you pray God's word back to him, we are putting God in a position to acknowledge his word, and that we acknowledge, we come into agreement with his word over our life. And so if you believe that God is the healer, if you believe that he sent his son Jesus to hang on the cross for us, and that by the stripes that Jesus took, we are healed, I believe it's good to speak it. I believe it's good to pray it over people. Pray it over yourself, and Jesus' precious blood is able to heal you. His precious blood was shed for you, not only for healing, but for salvation. Of course, the most important thing, His blood saves us from our sins. It heals us from our sins. And so this is a very important scripture, and it's great to speak it over people. As I said before, it's great to pray it over people, to believe it. And you say, well, maybe that's just a trite phrase. Maybe that's just a trite thing that you're saying, that, you know, by the stripes that Jesus took, we are healed. Beloved, if you believe it, if it is down in your spirit that you believe it and you acknowledge it, then that is the place to start with healing. You have to believe by your faith you have been made well. Many times when Jesus healed people, He said, your faith has made you well. And so by your faith, then it is impossible. Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. We have to have faith. We have to express our faith. We have to show our faith. We have to follow through and do something with our faith. And so our faith is extremely important. And if you believe the scripture, if you believe the promises of God, and you believe that when Jesus took the stripes, we are healed, then speak it and say it and believe it and follow through and do something with your life that expresses your belief, that shows your belief, that acknowledges that belief. That is the key to healing. I don't know that, you know, if you claim that you're healed, but you never do anything different the next minute or the next day or the next hour, what proof are you proving to the world or even to yourself that you are actually believing that you're healed? So you have to get up and do something. You have to get up and say, I'm healed. I'm going forward. I'm not going to let this affliction hold me back. I'm not going to let this pain or this calamity, this malady, infirmity hold me back. I'm going forward in victory. I'm going to believe, and I'm going to express my belief by going forward and doing something that I couldn't do yesterday or didn't feel like doing yesterday or didn't want to do yesterday. Today, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to show my belief, and I'm going to show my faith. Because when I show my faith and I show my belief, then I start to believe it myself. And it's not the power of positive thinking. That's not what it is. God can touch your body. He can heal you, and He will. That is His desire. All right, verse 6 in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, this is still talking about Jesus, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people He was stricken. And they made His grave with the wicked, still talking about Jesus, but with the rich at His death, because He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. In other words, God, Father God, was pleased because His Son was obedient. Father God was pleased because He knew this was the plan of salvation. He knew that His Son had to go to the cross. He knew that His Son had to shed His precious blood for the redemption of you and I and all mankind. He knew that this was the only way it could be accomplished. I don't think He took great joy in actually seeing His Son suffer. I don't think any father does. We would rather take the pain ourselves. But He knew that this was the only way that the redemption of mankind and the healing of mankind, the rollback, the remission of sins could be accomplished was by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it says the Lord was pleased to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Well, I'm going to stop there in reading Isaiah, and I'm going to go on now to talk about a particular instance in the New Testament. In John 9, we're going to look at a situation where Jesus now is healing a blind man who has been blind from birth, and this is just one of the many dramatic healings that take place in the New Testament. If you read the book of John, if you read the book of Matthew or Mark, there are so many instances. I don't know how many altogether. I would say maybe 60 or 70 different instances of Jesus healing people personally, or healing where it's a reference to the fact that he healed all the people in a village or all the people in a particular town or city or area. And so Jesus is the manifestation, the physical incarnate manifestation of God. He is the God who is among us. His name, when he was born, the angels declared that he would be given the name Emmanuel, which is God among us. And so if God, Father God, Jehovah God, is our healer, so also too is Jesus our healer, because he is God among us. Well, in chapter 9 of the book of John, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, it was a common thing back in those days, and even to some extent today, that when people get sick, we say, well, what did they do to cause this? What was the situation? Was it something inherited from their parents? Did the DNA have a problem, or was there some hidden issue in this person's life? Well, sometimes the issue isn't hidden. If a person is drinking a lot, they may very easily acquire liver problems, or they may acquire some other physical problems. If they're smoking, they may very easily acquire lung problems, lung cancer, or some other type of respiratory ailment. But in this situation, they say, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Then Jesus said about himself, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And so Jesus was saying, what he was saying was, my time is short. It is the time of day. It's a time for me to work, but darkness is coming. I'm going to be leaving. I will be crucified. That's what he was saying. He was giving them a message in code, you might say, and saying, now is my time to work. And so Jesus said, it was not this man's sin that brought upon his blindness. It was not his parents' sin that brought about this blindness. Neither of them were sinners. They had common, ordinary sins. We're all sinners, but what he was saying is there was no particular cause and effect here from their sin that would cause this person's blindness. And so we oftentimes, again, have questions. Well, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve cancer? Why me? Why God? Why are you picking on me? Well, sometimes it just is a function of our fallen world. We live in a fallen world where sin is prevalent and where sickness is prevalent. It is not a perfect world. Sometimes there's accidents. You may be driving down the road and minding your own business and doing everything that the law requires, and somebody can come into your lane and hit your car, or somebody could T-bone you from a side road. And so there are situations in life that just are not easy to explain, and you will never know why this thing has happened to you, why this sickness has befallen you. You may get measles just sitting in a classroom with 25 other students, and one of them might have measles, or one of them might have mumps, or one of them might have TB or something. There are people here in Africa that have leprosy. I was preaching at a crusade just a couple of weeks ago in Manyala village, and there was a young girl about 6 years old, maybe, and I believe she had leprosy. Her skin, her face was very deformed. It was just the skin was just it looked like leather or some strange skin malady that she had. And I laid hands on her. I prayed for her. I don't know if she had leprosy, but whatever she had was a serious situation. It could be a result of witchcraft. I don't know what it was, but I prayed for her. And I'm sure at 6 years of age, that girl had very little, if any, sin in her life. She may have told a couple of lies in her life, but she had no reason to believe that she was the cause of that. And so in this situation, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus had picked this man out. God had picked this man out to be an example, to be part of the scenario, to show that God sinned, or to show that God healed. And so he was there, and that was all there was to that. In verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so when he said these things, he spat on the ground, and he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Well, some of us might react a bit to that, might reject that, and say, why would you want to put clay with your saliva on somebody else's eyes? That's not a very sanitary thing. That would not pass the hygiene test in hospitals and clinics here in America or any place else, probably, for that matter. But Jesus is the Son of God, and when he did something, I'm sure the reason in his own mind was sufficient, and we have to accept the fact that it was sufficient. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and then he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. In other words, go wash in the pool of sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. And therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And someone said, this is he. Others said, well, he looks kind of like that guy that was blind. And he said, the former blind man said, I am he. And therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and I washed and I received my sight. Well, beloved, there's many things there that we can consider. One of the important lessons from that is that Jesus made this concoction with clay and his saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes, and then he told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, many times Jesus tells us to do something. The voice of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, speaks to us and says, go do something to complete our healing. Go be obedient to God to do something that God is calling us to do, and yet we refuse to do it because we don't want to go out of our way. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And so God oftentimes requires us to do something, to be a witness, to be a testimony, maybe stand up in church and tell people that we have been healed, give a testimony of God's power in our life, or maybe God is saying, drop what you're doing and go do something else. Go be a preacher, go be a pastor, go be an evangelist, whatever. There are many times when healing is linked to obedience, and this man was obedient. He was obedient. He went to the pool and he washed his eyes and he came back to that place where he had left, and his eyes were opened. He was able to see. And all of the villagers said, well, what has gone on with him? This looks like the same guy that was blind, but I'm not sure if it's him. And he said, I am he, this man Jesus. He made this clay and the saliva. He put it on my eyes, and he told me to go wash. I went and washed, and now I can see. Well, beloved, this is a great miracle, as you can see. But the man believed, he had faith to believe, he had the obedience to go and do what Jesus called him to do. And so that is a lesson for us, that when we encounter God, when we ask God for a healing, when we ask God to touch our bodies, to touch our minds, to touch our spirit, when we ask God to do something for us, are you willing to step out and be obedient to whatever God has called you to do? There's always an obedience factor. There's always a request or a command by God for us to do something to complete the healing, so that the manifestation of the healing then takes place and we are able to testify to others around us that this has happened. Well, we're going to talk more about healing next week, and it's a big subject. As I talked before, we could preach for many Sundays on it, but I hope you have gleaned something from today's teaching. I hope you've been blessed. I know we are blessed to bring you these messages. Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we appreciate your support. We appreciate your prayers. I ask for you to support this ministry. Sit down, pray about your part in coming alongside this ministry. Help us with the projects in Africa, and help us keep these radio broadcasts coming in America and on the internet each and every Sunday. And so we thank you again for your participation. Stay tuned for contact information, and thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.